One more, Isaiah 24. Verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. That's pretty profound statement of desolation. But it's not the end. It's only part of the prophetic things that are happening near the end, not at the very end. The idea is that if you die in your sins, it's too late. Now, did all these people that he talked about that were killed in the wars with Assyria and Israel, Babylon and Judah, and other nations that God devoured, you know, after God used Assyria to punish Israel, guess what? Then he punished Assyria. All these people died. They died in their sins. Now, theologians, Christian theologians, will tell you that if you die in your sins, it's finished. First of all, you go directly to hell. Directly to hell. Now, I know the Bible says you're going to be judged first, but no, theologians send you straight to hell. Then they'll judge you later to see if you should have been sent there or not. But if you were, guess what? You're going back. Nobody who comes out of hell and is judged does not go back. They all go back. Okay? They all go back. So, when you die in your sins, it's finished. It's over. Ask any minister. Ask any Christian theologian. It's over. Your eternal fate is sealed. If you die in your sins, unrepentant, whatever, you are going to hell. That's it. But, so we read some scriptures here of destruction and desolation. But that's not the end. What else has God declared? Yes, he declared all that, but what else has God declared? Okay? Let's stay in the same book here. You know, jump all over the Bible here and say, well, yeah, but you're over in Jude now. We're back in Isaiah in the context. No, let's stay in the context of Isaiah. Stay right here in this book. Isaiah 11. Now, we read that this desolation is coming. Right? It's definitely coming. But now we read something else. 11 verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, how about them apples? Now, without reading everything in context, let me ask you something. Was there ever a time when there was no destruction in God's holy mountain, his seat of government, and the entire earth was filled with the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God, like the waters cover the sea? Was there ever such a time? No. Was there such a time when all this destruction we read about here happened to Israel and Assyria? Yes. Well, then this must come afterward, huh? The Bible doesn't teach that the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God like the waters cover the sea, and then he's going to destroy everybody. No, it's the other way around. God declared all of this destruction and desolation, but then, we're not to the end yet, and God says, I've declared the end from the beginning. They shall not destroy. There's coming a time when they will not destroy, when the knowledge of God is over the whole earth like the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 65:25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Has that ever happened in the history of Israel or Judah? No, it has not. But this is a declaration of the end. It will happen. There's coming a time, Isaiah 1:17. It's back and forth. I mean, I pick these out in no particular order. That's why I'm going frontwards and backwards. But you just read a one thing then the other. Desolation and then salvation. Ruin and then salvation. Ignorance and then knowledge. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. But how can that be if they die first and they go to hell? When will their scarlet sins be white as wool? When? Well, they won't. But God declared in the end they will be. Here's a great one. Second chapter. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Okay? Now ask yourself, when did this happen in the 6th century B.C. or any time thereafter? It shall come to pass when? In the last days. That the mountain, that's the government, the power of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains over all the other governments and nations and strongholds, and shall be exalted above the hills of smaller nations, and all nations shall flow unto it. Has that ever happened? When has that ever happened in history? Never. Will it happen? God has declared it. If He declared it, and this is what's going to be in the end, it has to be. There's just no getting around it. It has to be. It will come to pass. Many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among many nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not raise up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come you, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is a declaration of God. And it shall come to pass. Now, is that not a declaration? That's a strong declaration. When? In the last days. When does God make these predictions? In the beginning. He declares what's going to be in the end. Is there going to be one nation that say, well, we're not going to go up, and we're not going to beat our spears into pruning hooks, and we are not going to stop war. We're going to learn an even greater one. They will not learn war anymore. Why? Many, because of verse 4, He shall judge among the nations.
When is this?
When is what?
When is this happening in the last day? Before Christ turns, after Christ turns?
Well, obviously after, not before. Nobody's going to learn peace and harmony. When Christ comes, it's all hell is breaking loose. The world is in turmoil. But notice that. He shall judge among the nations. The nations, all the nations of the world. He will judge. What did we learn over in chapter 26? What happens when His judgments come on the whole world? They learn righteousness.
Isn't this the day of the Lord?
Huh?
Isn't this the day of the Lord?
Well, yeah, it's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a long period of time. Yeah, it's a long. It's his day of. It's his day of wrath and judgment.
Yeah.
So, they don't just come that way of their own free will. God judges them and rebukes them strongly. You see, and then we read in chapter 26, verse 9, when that happens, when his judgments are in the whole world, the inhabitants of planet Earth will learn righteousness. Now, who's going to be among all those people that's going to learn righteousness? There's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The just aren't raised to judgment. They're raised to glory. The unjust are raised to judgment. So all the unjust are going to learn righteousness. That's the end. See, this comes after. This comes after all the wars. So when you read of wars and desolation, that comes before. Why? Because there's coming a time when they're going to beat all those instruments into things of agriculture and they won't learn war anymore. Put all the words together and believe them. Evermore. Oh yeah, but then there's probably coming another time of destruction, right? No, no, no. When this happens, they'll never, ever learn war ever again. God has declared it. But who believes it? Who believes these scriptures?
So these nations of all people who've ever lived, they're resurrected, and he's talking about all human beings that have ever lived are in this nation. And
ultimately.
Judgment.
And ultimately, yes, of course. Isaiah 8, verse 6, because sprinkled right in this, you have, he doesn't just, you know, you need two witnesses, we got more than that. Chapter 8, verse 6. No, I don't believe that's the right one. Okay, I think I have the wrong verse here. But where God says, the Lord of hosts will perform this. Sorry, one thing. Yeah, I have the wrong reference there. I'm sorry about that. Now, all through Isaiah, you read about, well, you actually read about Sodom and Gomorrah. You read about Egypt, Assyria, Israel, Judah, all of them. Now, notice chapter 19, verse 20. Now, Egypt, all the way back to the book of Revelation, we have that, you know, Jerusalem is likened to Sodom and Egypt, right? Sin, evil. But notice this. Verse 20 of chapter 19. And it shall be a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior. Wow. And a great one. And he shall deliver them. Did God send a Savior to Egypt back at the time of Isaiah in the 6th century B.C.? And did the whole nation of Egypt turn to God and were saved? No. It's a prophecy. Now we're coming to the end. All this other stuff, this destruction, this is intermediate. But now we're coming to the end. What will the end of it be? He's going to send them a Savior and deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. The Egyptians. That's anybody who is an Egyptian. Not just a handful at that time. All Egyptians. There's coming a resurrection. And they shall do sacrifice and oblation, yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, and the Lord shall smite Egypt, and shall smite the smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come unto Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people. And Assyria, the work of my hand, and Israel, mine inheritance. Now that's the end. God declared it. He said, I declare these things in the book of Isaiah. And this is what he said in Isaiah. Some of the worst people that have ever lived. Egypt, Assyria, Israel, all of them. My people. My people. People always talk about, well, Israel is God's people. Excuse me? All people are God's people. But who believes that report? Who believes that all the Egyptians, all the Assyrians, all the Israel are going to be saved and be called God's people? Who believes that? Where is it taught? Show me where that's taught. Show me a church, any place on planet Earth that teaches that. Because if all them are going to be saved, surely there's room for Northern Ireland. And Panama. Now, we'll get even a little more nitty gritty. One more verse here and we'll wrap this up. Chapter 25. Verse 8. And now we're going to put verse chapter 26, verse 9 in a real big context, okay? You say, well, context, 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 Ray. All right, baby. We're going for context today. God's context, not the theologian's context. Verse 8, chapter 25. He will swallow up death in victory. Huh? God has declared it. Declared the end from the beginning. What's going to be at the end? He's going to swallow up death in victory. See, I wonder where Paul got that statement of his in 1 Corinthians 15. You know? Death is swallowed up in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. He's declared it. This is the end, and he's declared it before it happened. This is the end of things. This is God's declaration. He has spoken it. And we just read in Isaiah 55:11 that when a word goes out of God's mouth and he speaks it and declares it, it will happen. It will not come back void. It will go out and perform that for which it was sent. And it shall be in that day Lo, this is our God. We have waited on Him, for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. For in His mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under Him, even as straw is trodden down for a dunghill. And He shall spread forth His hands in the midst of them, as he that swims spreads forth his hands to swim, and He shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of their walls shall He bring down, and lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. This is something He's going to do, but we just read. What's going to happen? I will swallow up death in victory. These people are now dying. Their death has got to be swallowed up in victory. Or He can't declare that statement up there. That statement must come to pass. Chapter 26, verse 1. In that day shall His song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, and that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. This sounds a little like Revelation 21. The nations will start bringing their glory into the city one by one. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, Eonian. For he brings down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low, even to the ground. He brings it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the dust is upright. Thou most upright does weigh the path of the dust of the just. My eyes are a little blurry when I don't have reading glasses. I gotta get some. Yea, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, have we waited for you, and desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of you. With my soul have I desired you in the night, yea, with my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when, here's the whole thing, when, it's only in God's time, at a certain time, in a particular way, when He says so, and so on and so on and so forth. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That's when His judgments are in the world. And we just read that over in chapter 2, you know. He will send out strong judgment to all the nations of the world. And they'll beat their spears into pruning hooks and so on. And they will not learn war anymore. Now, God has declared this. It's got to happen. And this is the end. You can't have death after you have swallowed up death in victory. This is the end. Can you see that? This is the very end of human corruption and sin and death and so on. How does it end? Death is swallowed up in victory. That's how it ends. I don't remember exactly how I was going to tie in Isaiah 53, but I'll turn there just for a moment and comment on it. Isaiah 53, where it talks about Christ and being made an offering for sin and all of that. And then we read, because again, these corrupt and evil-minded theologians, when you reach to the end where Christ has made a sin offering, It says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Some would say, well, it only says for the many. Not all, for the many. This is the last verse of Isaiah 53. But now I want you to look at the meaning of the word many. I mean, and sometimes, and you know, even in the Hebrew, it is not, it's not just many, but it's the many ones. The many ones. And this is from the Hebrew word rab, R-A-B, 7227 is the number. And it means abundant in quantity, size, age, number, rank, and quality. Now what do you leave out of that? Abundant, abundance, abundant, abundantly. Look at all the words I put in red. Okay? Two, very much, multiple, multitude, plenteous, populous, suffice, sufficient. So when it says, he bare the sin of many, the multitude. In fact, I believe it's Bishop, you know, which is a very old translation. It says, he bare the sins of the multitude. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, this is just talking about some. Well, maybe even quite a few, but not all. No, it's everybody. It's everybody. The sacrifice was for everybody. And for the transgressors. Who is not a transgressor? Everybody's a transgressor. So if he died as a sin offering for the transgressors, then there's no one left out, because everyone's a transgressor. Now I just want to deal briefly with this damnable teaching of the church that if you die in your sins, then it's too late for salvation. It's just too late. I'll tell you, it's too late. It's too late. I put a couple of scriptures down here. In Genesis 18:18, it says, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How could you consider yourself blessed of God if he's torturing your grandmother and your grandfather in hell for all eternity? I mean, what kind of a blessing is that? Think about these evil teachings for what they are. It's already, you could say, you know, these people, maybe they're a little deceived, but they're certainly not evil, and they don't despise the Word of God. I'm telling you, they despise the Word of God. They loathe it. You show them a beautiful, profound scripture, and they will spit on it. Not literally, but spiritually, by telling you, it's no good. It won't work. It will never happen. 1 John 4:14, God commissioned Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. Theologians say, it'll never happen. If that's not spitting in the face of God, I don't know what is. He said, I commissioned my Son to be the Savior of the world. Christ said, I have come to do my Father's work. He said, I have done my Father's work. It is finished. And the church teaches, it'll never happen. I don't care who said it. I don't care if God said it or Christ said it. It will never happen. So, I mean, imagine it. You're going to this Christian fantasy world of heaven. And God says, finally you're here. You're going to get the blessings that I told Abraham that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Harry, your blessing. Look over here. Your mother, your father, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your great-grandfather. Look at them writhing in pain like bacon in a pan. Isn't it wonderful? How do you feel? Isn't it good to be in heaven? It's It's good to be in the kingdom of God, isn't it? Do y'all feel blessed? Can't you get a little worked up over this? It's evil. Words cannot describe the evil of the doctrine of the Christian church. It is evil beyond human comprehension. Even those who are saved by their own free will. They don't even give God total credit for being saved. You've got to do it by your own free will. But most of them ain't going to make it. They're going to burn in hell for all eternity. Oh, I know there's a couple denominations say, well, we don't really believe in literal fire. They're just going to be separated and miserable in pain, suffering, mental and emotional anguish for all eternity. That's all. Oh, that's all. Okay. Well, that's not so bad, is it? Wow. Wow. just amazing stuff. You can't make this up. Who would think that the Church of Jesus Christ would be teaching the world for 2,000 years that God's going to torture most of their grandmothers in hell for all eternity? Who could believe such a thing? It's over the top. It's beyond comprehension. Do you know how many people will damn me to hell when they hear this on our site? So you'll see, Ray. You'll see your God isn't as great as you think. Look what it says back in Revelation. Now we're going to the last book. This is like end time stuff, you know what I mean? When you get to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, you're getting close to the end. And when you get to the end of this last chapter of the last book, you're really getting close to the end. And what does it say there? And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Who? Anybody that hears. Do people go to hell and then they're deaf? They can't hear anymore? If you can hear, here's the word. Come. Let him that is athirst. Come. Well, if you're in hell, like the rich man, and you're thirsty, and you want Lazarus to put a drop, if you're thirsty, can you come? No, you can't come. This verse doesn't mean what it says. You can't come. It says come. Who? Whosoever. Whosoever is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I mean, they teach free will, free will, free will, and now you have an opportunity to take in the water freely, and they say, oops, no more free will. You only have free will when we say you do. Evil and damnable teachings. Wow. Now, one last section of Scripture here and we'll close. So, when you die in your sins, then that's it, right? I mean, that's what the Bible says. Someplace in the Bible says, if you die in your sins, you're going to burn in hell forever. There must be a verse that says that. All the theologians of the world say that, so there must be a verse that says that. That if you die in your sins, when you're resurrected, you will go to hell. No, actually, you go to hell when you die. Well, you go to hell when you die. You go to hell when you're resurrected. You go to hell before you're judged, after you're judged. You go to hell. That's all. You just go to hell. Okay? Oh, really? Romans 11. Hebrews 11. We're going to read the whole chapter. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I'm also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. When did he foreknew that? From the beginning. Well, what did he declare from the beginning? The end. And now we're going to come to the end. The end of what? The end of his people that he foreknew from the beginning. Are you following me? Do you not know what the scripture says in Elias? How he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and digged down the altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what says the word of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, though in like manner, at this present time, this was about, 50, 60 or whatever years B.C., A.D., and Paul is writing this to the Romans, even so then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There was a remnant that are coming under God's grace now, just like the 7,000. Not all of Israel, no, just a remnant, just a few, maybe some thousands, we don't know how many, that, they're going to come under God's grace. Just like that. And if by grace, that is no longer by works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace, otherwise it be work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for. But the election, the remnant, you see, the group that God called out and knew about, has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Well, who blinded them? God did. God blinded them. They couldn't see if they wanted to. Then when Christ came to teach them, he could open their eyes. He said, no, I'm going to teach them in parables. Why? So they'll be blind. So they won't see. So they won't understand. So that I won't heal them. Save them. Heal them. That's what hell you save means. Health. Health and life. So God said, no, I want to teach them openly, plainly. They might repent and I not have to heal them and save them. Oh, you mean he wanted them to die not being saved? That's right. That's what he said. Well, then they all went to hell. Because that is the Christian theology. If you die in your sins, you go to hell. So all these people are in hell. That's what theology says. Now let's look what the Word of God says. According as it's written, God has given them a spirit of slumber. Oh, eyes that they should not see. Who gave them those eyes? God. Have you ever heard a sermon in your life that taught that God takes whole nations of people and blinds them so they can't see spiritual truth? Have you ever heard that? No, you haven't. Why? They despise the Word of God. That's why. They loathe it. Every last one of them. Ears that they should not hear unto this day. Who did that? God did that. David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, are they now total failures? Is it all over? Are they now in hell? Is it too late, as they say? Is it too late for them? What does Paul say? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, did they fall? Yes. How long? How far did they fall? Well, we'll read it, and then we'll see it. their fall, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Oh, that's a good thing, isn't it? Well, sure it is. For to provoke them to jealousy. Oh, well, that's fine. He's going to burn them in hell for all eternity and make them jealous. You know? Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, mind you, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? What are you talking about, fullness? They fell. They're burning in hell. It's too late for them. For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting of the way of them be the reconciliation of the world, the casting away, blinding, clouding their understanding, deceiving them, so that they die in their sins. And Jesus himself came then and preached to Israel, so that they would be blind and not repent and not be saved. Notice it. For if the casting away of them, that's what the casting away was, blinding and deceiving them so they couldn't be saved. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? What do you mean receiving? Receiving, yeah. He cast them away, that's that direction, and now he's going to receive them, that's coming back, right? You know the difference, right? Casting away, receiving. Receiving them from where? Receiving them, what shall it be, the receiving of them, but life from the dead. Wait, I thought they were alive in hell suffering. No, Paul said they were dead. And they're going to be brought back to life. They're going to be received. Isn't that they're going to be made alive so that they can be tortured in hell? They're going to be received. Now, you've got to know what that word means. When God receives you, he's not rejecting you anymore. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so also are the branches. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So who are the branches? Israel is the branches. Now the first fruits is Christ, and he's holy. And the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. But they're cast off. And if some of the branches be broken off, yeah, they were broken off. And you, being a wild olive tree, the Romans, the Gentiles, us, were grafted in among them, and with them partaking of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not yourself against the branches. Why not? Why not say, you know, we're saved? To hell with all those people in hell. But if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root you. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. You're grafted in. Be not high-minded, but fear. Oh, really? How many theologians fear when they talk about them being saved and the rest of the world going to hell in a handbasket for all eternity? And it's fair, Dr. Kennedy says. And it's justice, says Mr. Hagee. and many, many more give their amen to such utter nonsense. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall be cut off. But we're not at the end yet. Is it conceivable that some of them that he was talking to were cut off? Yeah, I think so. You go to the book of Hebrews, if you sin willingly, willfully, knowingly, wantingly, after you come to knowledge, there's no more sacrifice for you. Is that the end, though? Remember, Christ, God declares the end, the total end from the beginning, when death is swallowed up in victory. Is that the end? No, if you read further back in Hebrews, you know, there's no more sacrifice for you, but what? Judgment! And what did we learn in Isaiah? One of the declarations of God is, when God's judgments are on you, the nations will beat their spears into plowshares. And the unrighteous will learn righteousness. That's what will happen. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Well, why would they not stay grafted in unbelief? Well, because they're going to be judged. And when they're judged, you learn righteousness. They shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now there it is. You have just read where God blinded a whole nation, and they were cut off, and they died in their sins, and he says, I can bring them back and graft them in. Who are you going to believe? The scriptures or these filthy-minded heretics? You can die in your sins. You can be brought back. You know, life from the dead, and you can be grafted in. You just read it. God is able. For if you were cut out of an olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which would be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So the Gentiles can be grafted on, and the Israelites can be grafted back in. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. The whole church is ignorant of this mystery. Even if they read it, even if people are sitting down this afternoon after church reading this scripture, they won't see it. They won't get it. Their ears can't contain it. Their eyes won't perceive it. I would not that you be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness has happened in part to Israel. Until, that's like that little word if, you know, if means something else to follow. Until something else has to follow. Until what? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. There it is. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's judgment. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Remember we read, though they be as scarlet, be white as wool. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are loved of the Father. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means whatever he says, whatever will be good gifts and what will, it'll happen. It'll be done. I'll do all my pleasure. If I've spoken it, it will come to pass. My word will not come back void. If I said it, it's going to be done. I'm going to declare the end from the beginning, therefore it has to be. For, as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. You know, we read in Psalm 96, I believe. Every verse and every single verse in the whole chapter ends with, "For His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever." There isn't a Christian theologian on the earth that believes that. It's said, repeated over and over in every single verse of the whole chapter. There's not a theologian, an Orthodox theologian on earth that believes that His mercy endureth forever. If you die in your sins, mercy is over. What about endureth forever? Forget it. It's just talk. It's just a song. Even so, they have also now not, even so, have these also now not believed that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief. Who's the all? All of the Jews, all of the Israelites, all of the Gentiles, all. He has concluded all in unbelief. To what end? That He might have mercy upon all. Then we have this great section here of four verses. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has first given to Him and shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all. To Him be the glory for the aeons. Amen. Okay. So I hope I made that intense enough so that you understand how utterly corrupt and evil and vile and despicable, or despicable, these teachings are. And it's in the whole church. The whole church has swallowed all of this pagan filth. It's a marvelous thing. It takes a miracle. It takes a miracle to be that stubborn to the Word of God. It takes an absolute miracle.